Thank you for that, Tammy and Pastor Roger. And I believe, did Tammy write that song? Is that a song you wrote? That is wonderful. Will you take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, Luke chapter 2. We'll be there in just a moment. I want to just recognize somebody this morning that is very, very special to our church family. Martha Cowan, yesterday, turned 90. Had her 90th birthday. And if you don't, yeah, there you go. Martha, if you have not had the pleasure of meeting her, is a wonderful woman of God. She is a great prayer warrior. You will find her early most of the time here praying, and also just throughout the week coming down to the church to pray over this church family. And you have no idea. I have somewhat of an idea because I'm here and we talk a lot, but you have no idea how many hours and hours of praying that Martha does around this place. And she is an absolute blessing to this church family. So Martha, God bless you, and happy birthday. Yeah. I also want to welcome our daughter, Stephanie, who's here. And did Xander go back to the Primus Land? Okay. And Stephanie and Alex's son, Xander, back in Promised Land. Stephanie and Alex live in Seattle, where they serve on a church staff there. Alex left Friday morning for Chile to be on a missions trip with their church. And so it's been nice to have Stephanie here all week. And we've enjoyed our time with her and our grandkids. And hopefully you've had a great Thanksgiving week as well. Well, this morning we launch our Christmas series called The Anticipation, and every week in this series we're going to be taking a different aspect of the Christmas story. This morning we're focusing on the shepherds, and that's why we added the shepherd. So every week we'll add a piece or two to this nativity set, and this week we're focusing on the story of the shepherds. I love the Word of God. I love God's Word. And the Bible is filled with so many different types of literature. The Bible is filled with, there's didactic teaching, which is just basically instruction. There's poetry in the Bible. There's prophetic language. There are so many kinds of literature in the Bible, but mostly the Bible is filled with stories. Filled with stories. Stories that invoke a lot of different emotions in us. We can read a story out of the Bible and it can stir us toward anger, or it can strike fear into our hearts, or there's love stories in the Bible. There's great stories of heroism and courage in the Bible. There are stories that are meant to be warnings to us in the Bible, stories where things didn't go so good because people made bad choices, and there's stories to us that tell us, hey, you just don't want to go down the road that guy went down. There are great stories of God's blessings in the Bible. There are great stories of victory and people that overcame, great stories of conquering. The Bible is full of stories because the gospel is real life. The gospel is a story. It's real people. It's a living God coming into the lives of real people. So the gospel is not just a list of rules and regulations and things we should believe. The gospel is real life, and it's a story. And that's what I love about this time of year. I love preaching the story, the real life story of Christmas. And this story about the angels fascinates me. So we're gonna look at this together, and let's stand together. You've been sitting for a little bit. Let's stand together. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And I'm gonna read quite a few verses here, so follow along with me. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there were no guest rooms available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God to us today. God bless you. You can be seated. I've always loved this part of the Christmas story because it kind of brings us to a question. Of all people on the earth that God could have sent angels to announce the coming of his son and to the world, why did God choose these shepherds? Because God doesn't do things by accident. I don't think it was a coincidence. I don't think God looked down and said, "Well, okay, there's some shepherds." I believe there's design to everything God does. And there's a reason God sent his angels to visit these shepherds. So what can we take from this? What do we learn about the gospel from God sending these angels to the shepherds? And these shepherds getting to share in that very first Christmas night. And what can we learn, what can we take away this morning from this part of the gospel? So I want to share with you three things this morning that I believe we can take out of this story that hopefully will challenge us in our own walk with the Lord. The first thing is this: our work, when done for God's glory, becomes sacred work. Our work, when done for God's glory, becomes sacred work. You see, the shepherds, this was not the most prestigious job in Bethlehem. They weren't known for being particularly spiritual people. They were probably not highly educated. They didn't run with the power crowd. They were just ordinary people. In fact, you couldn't get any more ordinary than being a shepherd. It's about as ordinary as it got. I'm sure when someone asked a shepherd out on the street, "So what do you do?" they probably didn't throw their shoulders back and say, "I'm a shepherd." They probably said something more like this. They probably said, "Well, I'm just a shepherd. I'm just a shepherd." But I want you to know today, in God's economy, there's no such thing as just a shepherd. It's not how God sees our work. When God sent his angels to bring the story of all stories to a group of shepherds. I believe this was God saying there's no such thing as being just a shepherd. Because our work, when it's done for God's glory, becomes a sacred thing. It becomes a holy thing. You see, we tend to think that spiritual things happen here in church, right? This is holy, and it certainly is. And what happens there is, it's okay, but it's not really like it is here. It's not really holy and sacred. But I want to challenge your thinking this morning. I believe God wants to redeem your work. Following Jesus is not just a Sunday thing. It's a everyday, 24/7 thing. Amen? God wants to redeem your work. He wants you to see that your work, when it's done for His glory, is a holy thing. It's a sacred thing. So instead of spirituality looking like steeples and stained glass windows and candles and churches, maybe true spirituality looks more like sweat and dirt and calluses and bruises and cuts and sheep dung. Maybe that's what true spirituality looks like. When we work for the glory of God, our work becomes holy. It becomes sacred. It becomes a sacred thing. After all, the first worker in the Bible was God, right? God is a worker. He's a doer. He's a creator. God makes things happen. In fact, Jesus said in John 5, "My Father and I work right up to this day." So the first worker in the Bible is God Himself. And then on the sixth day of His work, the Bible says this, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it." So God is the first worker, and He created Adam and Eve in His image, and He gave them a job to do. And He said, This is life. This is good. This is what it means to walk with me, to work, to be holy. And then when we get into the Exodus, we have this really cool passage of Scripture where God has given Moses the instructions about the building of the tabernacle. And we find this in Exodus 35. It says, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding and knowledge, and all kinds of skills." Then it goes on to describe the kinds of skills that he had. He was a craftsman. He was filled with the Spirit of God in order to be not a preacher, not a teacher, not a pastor, not a prophet. He was filled with the Spirit of God to be a craftsman. Our work, when it's done for the glory of God, becomes sacred, and it becomes worship unto God Himself. So when you think about it, Jesus Himself, He only spent the last 3 years of His life being a preacher, right? Being a teacher. Before that, He lived 33 years. Before that, He was a what? He was a carpenter. Worked every day with His hands, right? With calluses and sweat and blood and hard work. I don't believe for a minute that Jesus, when He was a carpenter, just drug His feet around. "Oh, I really wish I was preaching. Hate this place." I don't think that's the kind of carpenter Jesus was. I believe Jesus worked well. I believe He worked hard, and I believe everything He crafted, He did it to the best of His ability, and I believe He whistled while He worked. I think He worked with joy because He was doing it for His Father, right? God came to redeem our work. Here's what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord in everything that we do. So maybe this is why God would send his angels to some shepherds to let us know that God uses shepherds. So when you think about your life, don't ever think, I'm just a teacher, I'm just a plumber, I'm just a banker. Nah, there's no such thing. Because when you do those things for the glory of God, now all of a sudden you're a holy teacher. You're a holy banker. You're a holy gas pumper. Whatever you do for the Lord, it becomes sacred. It becomes sacred. Amen? Yeah. Whatever you do for God, do it for Him. Do it for Him. Jesse, I'm going to pick on you. Go stand up this morning. What do you do, Jesse?
Arborist.
Arborist. You're an arborist. See, I didn't know that about you. Jesse, you're not just an arborist, are you?
No.
You're a holy arborist.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a man of God, Spirit-filled, God-ordained, holy arborist shining the light of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Fist bump right there. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you do, do it for God. God used shepherds in an amazing way. And He will use you. Never say, I'm just a teller. I'm just a grocery clerk. No. God is in you, and He will use you. Amen? Yeah, so let's take that from this morning's message. Let's take that with us. Work that is done for the glory of God becomes sacred work. The second thing I want you to know is you never know when God is going to show up and call upon you to do something special for Him. I'm sure for these shepherds, this is just another night of watching sheep, right? They have no clue what's about to happen to them. No clue. I mean, they're just clocking in. It is another night of watching sheep, just being faithful to their job, just doing what they do. And then God shows up in an amazing way and calls upon them, of all people, to do something glorious and amazing for Him. You never know when God is going to show up. So never think, well, this is just another day. This is just routine. No. Look for those ways that God is going to show up and call upon you and use you. Many of you know at least part of my story, but I didn't have the privilege of being raised in a Christian home. I didn't go to church when I was a kid, just a few times, but really didn't have much Christian background at all. And it was actually an 11-year-old Little League baseball player, one of my teammates, that invited me to go to his church with him. Little did he know. Little League baseball player, 11-year-old kid. Little did he know the impact that inviting this guy to church was going to have. That I would give my life to Christ. And not only me, but my entire family would end up coming to Christ. And not only my immediate family, but cousins and aunts and uncles, and this whole chain reaction of people that have been touched by the Lord. And it started with a Little League baseball kid. And I can tell you, this is one guy that is so thankful that Dave Anderson heard from the Lord and did what God asked him to do. Invited little Timmy Olson to church. You just never know. You just never know how God might use you. You never know the impact that your life will have. Listen to Him. Do what He tells you to do. Expect that God is going to step in to the unexpected moments of your life. And He's going to call upon you to do something that might just look so ordinary to you, but it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a miracle. You never know. You never know. And then the third thing I want you to take out of this story is this. The Christmas story is a story that our world needs to hear. The Christmas story is a story that our world needs to hear. Desperately. Luke chapter 2 and verse 17, going back in our text this morning, the shepherds were excited about the message the angels brought them, and they spread the good news wherever they went. Listen, are you still excited about the Christmas story? Are you? I mean, are you still excited about Jesus? Are you still excited about what Jesus has done in your life? Are you still excited about the fact that God stepped out of heaven into this earth to save you? Are you still excited about the fact that Jesus died on a cross for you? These guys were so excited they couldn't keep it in. They went around telling everybody who would listen. And in this Christmas season, I want to challenge you. Let's do the same thing. Our world is in a desperate place, church, and Jesus Christ is the only answer. He is the only answer. We should spread the good news of God's grace wherever we can, however we can, to whoever will listen. Amen? Man, our world is full of so much fear and anxiety and confusion and depression, and it's just so much stuff. And Jesus is the light in all that darkness. He is the light. How can we keep that light hid? How can we not talk about Jesus? You know, there's a place in the book of Jeremiah where Jeremiah was so discouraged. By worldly standards, he had very little success as a preacher. I mean, he preached for years and had no followers, had no church. Nobody wanted to listen to what Jeremiah was saying. He was successful in God's eyes, but not in the world's eyes. And there's a point where Jeremiah got so discouraged, there was so much rejection. Not just rejection, but you know, he was persecuted for what he was preaching. And there's a place in the book of Jeremiah where it says he made up his mind to just stop preaching. I'm not gonna prophesy anymore. But then it goes on to say that Jeremiah goes on to say, he says, but the word of God was in me. It was like fire shut up in my bones. It was like fire shut up. In other words, he's saying, I couldn't keep quiet. I couldn't not talk about God. And that's how the word of God should be in us. It should be like fire shut up on our bones. We just can't help it. We got to tell people about Jesus. It's the greatest story there is. Amen? It's the greatest news there is. Spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And do it in everyday ways. Many of you are aware of, just because this company's been in the news a lot in the last couple of years, just some political issues, but you're aware of the Chick-fil-A story. And Chick-fil-A was started in 1946 just by a man and his brother. And it was one of those true, like, rags-to-riches story where they could hardly scrape together the money to start their first restaurant. But over time, God really blessed them, and now there's almost 2,000 Chick-fil-A's in the United States. And so it's quite a story, but you know, you can never go to... How many of you would like to have a Chick-fil-A right here in Medford, by the way? Who would vote for that? They're delicious. Yeah. But the thing is, you could never go there Sunday after church for lunch. You know why? They're not open on Sundays. Not open on Sundays. Because this company, when it was started from the very beginning, they made some decisions about who they were going to be. And their purpose statement, pretty simple purpose statement, but I want you to see this, because I believe this is why God has blessed this company so much. Here's the corporate purpose statement for Chick-fil-A. To glorify God. How's that for a business, a corporate purpose statement? To glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, to have a positive influence on all who come into contact with Chick-fil-A. How many of you just think that is just fantastic, right? And it's great. Man, I wish there were more corporations in America that had a purpose statement like that. But here's the deal, and this is why I wanted you to see this. I want you to just think about, just put your own self in place of Chick-fil-A there, okay? So like your life purpose, maybe you've already written a life purpose statement. If you don't, this would be a good one, okay? To glorify God by being a faithful steward of all he's entrusted to me, okay? And to have a positive influence on all who come into contact with me. How about that? Right? Yeah. Make that your purpose in life. Be a faithful steward of all God's entrusted to you. Be a positive influence on everybody who comes in contact with you. It's an amazing thing. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 about being a positive influence in our world. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So that's your job. That's my job. Wherever we go, we let the light of Jesus Christ shine through us. And in this season, that in many ways is such a dark time in our world. Wow, what a great opportunity. Instead of going around, hanging your head, things are so bad, what a bummer, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Instead of having that kind of attitude, I want to challenge you to do a couple of things. First of all, get on your knees and pray for our country. Amen? Pray for our world. Get on your face before God and cry out to God for our world. And secondly, let the light of Jesus Christ shine through you into the darkness that we live in. Amen? Let the light of Jesus shine brightly through your life. What a better time for us to do this as God's chosen people, to shine the light of Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ, there's hope. In Jesus Christ, there's light. There's life. There's peace. Everything the human heart really longs for is found in the person of Jesus. Everything this world really needs is found in Jesus Christ. So this Christmas story is a story that needs to be told. Be as excited as those angels were, amen? Be as excited as those angels were to tell people, Jesus has come. Jesus has come. Jesus has come. Jesus, the Son of God, has come into this world to save us. And there's this great promise in the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 14 says this. It says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." This is what we long for, is it not? This is what we're hungry for. Let the knowledge of God, let the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ cover this world as the waters cover the sea. Let the knowledge of Jesus Christ go into this world. And that's what we get to be a part of. That's the story we get to tell, church. So in this Christmas season, we've got 4 weeks till Christmas. In these next 4 weeks, I want to challenge us individually and as a church. Let's do everything in our power to shine the light of Jesus Christ. Because God came to redeem all of the world. Amen? Can you say amen to that? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came for the young and he came for the old. Jesus came for the religious person and he came for the completely unreligious person. Jesus came for the Republican and he came from the debt for the Democrat. Amen? Jesus came into the world. He came for the rich, the poor. He came for the Wall Street businessman dressed in Armani. And he came for the Haitian kid dressed in rags. Jesus came for the neurosurgeon down there at Asante. and he came for the homeless guy down at Hawthorne Park. Jesus came for the little league coach, the guy pumping your gas, the woman checking you out at the supermarket, the nurse that helped you at the hospital, the teacher at the high school. These are the people that Jesus came and died for. So in this Christmas season, let's be as excited as the shepherds were to tell people about Jesus. Amen? Let's talk about him wherever we're at, and let's let the light of Jesus Christ shine through our lives. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes for just a moment? I want to take a moment right now. I've just been, so excited about the good news of Jesus today and all that he does in people's lives. But maybe you're here and this morning and you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus and you haven't experienced firsthand what I'm talking about. You haven't experienced firsthand the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of knowing your sins are forgiven. The peace that comes knowing that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ and that when you die, you're ready to go to heaven. Perhaps this morning you don't have that in your life, and I want you to know today that before you leave this place, you can. Because becoming a Christian is not a matter of going through 10 steps of anything or joining a church or getting to some type of mystical spirituality. Becoming a Christian is a matter of faith. It's a matter of opening your heart up to Jesus Christ, saying, God, I might not know much about you, but I believe you're real. And I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God, and I know I need you in my life. God, I want my life to change. It needs to change. So if that's you today, and if you want to pray a very simple prayer with me, inviting Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you're without God today, I believe this is your day, this is your moment. I don't believe you're in church by accident today. I believe this is a God-ordained, God-appointed time for you, and that God is meeting you this morning right where you're at. So today, if you want to pray to receive Jesus into your life, I'd like you to just, when I count to three, I want you to just raise your hand up. When you raise your hand, you're just saying, Tim, that's me. Today, I want to pray to receive Jesus into my life. If that's you, raise your hand when I say three. One, two, three. Today, you want to invite Christ into your life. God bless you, ma'am. Yeah. Others this morning, as I look out over the audience, just hold it up nice and high so I can see it, if you would. God bless you. Amen. Well, I know at least one. There might have been more. I want to pray. I want to lead you in a prayer right now. So would you pray along with me? In church, would you pray along with this person who's raised their hand? Father in heaven, I bring my life to you today. Jesus, I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I believe you're the Son of God, that you were born into this world, that you died on a cross for my sins, and you have risen from the dead. God, I'm sorry for the life I've been living. Please forgive me and wash my sins away. Today, in this moment, I give my life totally to you. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says, church, that all of heaven rejoices over one person who comes to Jesus. So let's rejoice with the angels today. Amen? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Let's stand together this morning. Worship team, would you come on up to the platform? Okay, when we leave today, remember this. There's no such thing as just a banker or just a plumber or just a teacher or just an arborist or just an electrician or just a dentist. Your work, when it's done for the glory of God, is a sacred thing. Amen? It's a holy thing. And if God can use a bunch of shepherds, He can certainly use you and me. So let's tell the world, let's tell the story of Jesus wherever we go.